I'm telling you what, this is exciting times. These are exciting times in the body of Christ. We've said it a lot in the last 6 to 8 months that there's never been a greater opportunity set before us to make disciples and spread the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you want to get empowered today to go forth and accomplish your destiny in the kingdom of God? If so, let's say it together, our declaration. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. Last week, we began a new series entitled Receiving God's Love. This was our main point last week. God's love brings security and peace. Today, our main point is this. Nothing can keep you from receiving God's love. Will you say that with me? Nothing can keep you from receiving God's love. Now let's make it personal. Instead of you, say me. Nothing can keep me from receiving God's love. Last week we began with 1 John 4:18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We know that the world we live in is full of fear. There's fear, people are fearing for their health, people are fearing for their finances, people are fearing for relationships, racial tensions, all kinds of hatred going on in this world. But listen, church, we don't have to live in that reality. We can live in the love of God. Amen? See, we have the antidote to the fear. We just read it. It's as simple as this. Perfect love casts out fear. So how do we access this powerful truth if it's so simple as these few words? Perfect love casts out fear. Five little words that tell us what we need. Well, I want you to understand there's a difference in knowing something intellectually and experiencing something in your life. It's important that first you hear it and you know it's a possibility. And the Word of God says when you gave your life to Christ, if today you're a born-again believer, you've surrendered your life to Jesus, received the forgiveness of your sins, been filled with the Holy Spirit, then here you are in a position that perfect love resides in the depths of your inner man, because the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now you're made alive with Christ when you put your faith in what he did on the cross, burial, resurrection from the dead. When you place your faith in Jesus, you become alive in your spirit man. If you remember a few weeks ago, Pastor Kirby taught us about spirit, soul, and body. That's three parts to every human being. It's very biblical. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you may never have. So the spirit inside of you, once you receive Christ, becomes perfected. The Word of God resides in you. You have all the fruits of the Spirit inside of you. But the gate between the spirit and the soul, what's inside the soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the gate between the perfection of your spirit into your soul is a thing we call the heart. See, the heart is the doorway for you to begin to experience what was deposited in your inner man. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. So if you don't know how to open the door to the Holy Spirit, your thoughts will never change. Your feelings will never change, and your choices will never change. But if you open the door to the Holy Spirit working from your inner man into your literal everyday life, like your thoughts, your choices, and your feelings, if you open the door to the work of the Holy Spirit, then you can experience the perfect love of God. It's already in you, but you are still in control of whether you experience what's being given to you. Amen? Are you ready to open the door? Say, I'm ready to open the door to the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's gonna get good now. So how do we access the truth that perfect love casts out fear? You open the door continually to the Holy Spirit and you allow that love to work in you. We know this is true. The love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. And we see that love demonstrated when Jesus came to the earth and gave his life for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So love God, God's love is sacrificial. God's love is unconditional. God's love is merciful. We don't get what we deserve. But God's love is also empowering. Do you remember when the disciples came to Jesus? It's recorded in Matthew chapter 6. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. They were very interested in learning how to pray because they saw when he would go off and pray, then he would come back and do miracles. Y'all following me? He would go away and pray, and then he would come back and do something supernatural. They were very interested in being able to follow his example in this way, so they said, teach us how to pray. And that's where we get the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the disciples' prayer. And it goes something like this. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that's about how much we know about that prayer. We just memorized it. And you go to churches and places all over the world and say, Let us say the Lord's Prayer. And everybody says it. They might get confused on transgressions or sins, but they all pretty much know the main idea. We can quote it, but do we live it? And that's not a shame on you. That's a real evaluation answer to your own life kind of question. Do I experience, he said, hallowed be your name. That's worship. We've experienced that this morning. Powerful, the presence of God all in and around us, on top of us, beside us, and underneath us. God was moving in worship, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir.
So we did the hallowed be your name thing. But do we understand thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Let me put that into everyday English. Let heaven come to your reality. See, we know if we gave our life to Jesus that when we die, we will go to heaven. Amen? That's the good news. Billy Graham taught it, and hundreds and thousands of other evangelists all over the face of this earth, over every season in the last 2,000 years. We know that if we give our life to Jesus, we go to heaven when we die. But most people don't know that heaven wants to come to earth before you die. Yes. Now, let's be honest. Most of us have probably experienced a little bit of heaven on earth at least once in our life. Think of something good that happened to you. Think of a time where you said, that had to have been God. I don't know how this good thing happened. Maybe a relative got healed. Maybe money showed up, or you got a business opportunity you never thought would be possible. Maybe somebody unexpectedly blessed you. I don't know. But have you, anybody, ever experienced something good? Man, I expected like, yes. I won't give you another chance. You didn't get that one. That's the only chance you get on that one. I'm just messing with you guys. Most of us know of a recorded miracle somewhere. Somebody got healed and it's unexplainable. We've even had children who were diagnosed with different things in the womb, and we've prayed over them. That child was born normal and healthy. We've seen the hand of God. We've seen people healed from cancer. We've seen people raised from the dead. There are great things that have happened in this world. We've heard about it, right? All across the world, God is moving, doing supernatural things. But I want to know, have you just heard about it, or have you experienced it? Because the Bible is full of stuff you've heard about. But this Bible is not just meant for you to know about God and his wonderful, miraculous power. It's for you to live and experience every day. Here's my new phrase. God wants you to experience miraculous power every nanosecond of your life. Every half breath should be supernatural. Come on, man. Somebody's going to get on this train with me and ride. We're going somewhere in the kingdom of God. Did you know that you don't just go to heaven when you die? Heaven wants to catch you while you're still up here on the earth. And when that happens, supernatural power breaks out in your life. I don't want to hear about the guy in 1946 who did a miracle. I want to hear about the guy yesterday who did a miracle. Right here in Plainview, right here in Lubbock, right here in Amarillo in West Texas. Let's not be satisfied until heaven shows up here and now. That's the way Jesus taught us to pray. It's not wrong to have lofty expectations when they're from Jesus. How do we pray, Jesus? You pray like this. Heaven, come on down to the earth. I hope that didn't hurt anybody's ears. Think about reality all around you. People are anxious. People are stressed out. People are worried. People are angry. Turn on the news and see how angry people are. See how fearful people are. This world is full of fear. But we have the answer. We have the remedy. We have the antidote. Perfect love. The reason we can't do anything about all of these fears out there is because we've not yet experienced fully perfect love ourselves. What if we did? I do believe that when we come together like this, it should be an experiential, transformational reality. We're not here to talk about how cool Greg and Becca and Kirby are up here on the, and Jody and Jill and Chase and whoever else is playing the instruments. They're cool. They're cooler than most people, but who cares? We're not here to talk about them. We're not here to talk about how good the message was or how bad it was. We're here to experience Jesus now. Right here, right now. When we sing, when we give offerings, when we pray, when we fellowship, when we receive the word of God, heaven has the opportunity to invade your life. But you're in charge of your gate. Just because I led you in a prayer and you said, Holy Spirit, I open the gate to my heart, you've still got to be willing to receive what he deposits in you. Amen? He's bringing his eternal kingdom to bear in your life right now. And some of you are completely unaware. Have you ever heard somebody say it? It just went whew, right over their head. It just went whew, right beside them. I'm like, I got a big net here, God. Don't let it go over my head. Catch me in your net and fill me with your power. I'm willing, I'm ready. Even when he comes and it makes me uncomfortable, I'm still willing and I'm still ready. If you've ever experienced the power of God working in you, it's not normal. That's why it's called supernatural. So if you like normal, then you're not going to experience the power of the kingdom. And see, we have the opportunity to take this perfect love and share it with the world, but if we're so stuck on our norm, it's never going to even invade our life, much less the world around us. And we sit and go, what's wrong with this world? It's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, do something about it. Receive the kingdom. Share the kingdom with the people around you. Quit worrying about DC. Quit worrying about Africa. Quit worrying about all this other stuff. Think about your living room and your house. The kingdom rules in my house. Amen? We need to bring the kingdom now. Heaven, come to my house. Change the way I relate to my wife and kids. Change the way I think. Change the way I feel. Holy Spirit, I open the door to you. You're already in me. Now flow into my thoughts. Flow into my feelings. Flow into my body. Flow into my choices. Whew. Let the fire burn. Let the wind blow. Let the river flow. See, the Holy Spirit is described as all three of those things. The fire, you're supposed to be baptized, immersed in, covered in, consumed in. The fire of God. Would your spouse say, my husband is consumed with the fire of God? Or would they say, my husband is consumed with himself? Because that's most men. Come on, guys, can I get an amen? I'm selfish. Unless the Holy Spirit takes over, I'm self-centered. And women too. Nah, 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 okay? It's human beings. I just don't need to pick on the girls. Would your spouse say, my mate is just like a river of heavenly love flowing into our home? My husband washes me with the water of the word. My wife serves in our home and brings the presence of peace to our dwelling. Is that the reality you live in? Because that's when heaven comes to earth. Not November 3rd plays a part. That's the election day, if you don't know. Register, vote for the right person. But from here until now, what are you going to do in your life? Because we tend to think, well, whoever wins the election is going to change the atmosphere. Not really. I'm sorry, most politicians are corrupt. Doesn't matter what party they're in. God bless them. I love them. I pray for them every day. Not against them. But they're not really going to make a difference in my house. I am. Some of y'all are more interested and worried about where they're going to take your guns than whether the kingdom of heaven resides in your house. Now, I'm for all the amendments. I'm not going to get off on that. Great. Love the Constitution. God bless the USA. But my life is not in the hands of Washington, D.C. Our lives are in the hands of King Jesus. We're citizens of heaven. We've been given the love of God. If we want to change the earth, we need to start loving the people right next to us. Well, you don't understand my family. They annoy me. I do understand your family because I have one too. You don't understand my spouse. You don't understand my kid. No, I probably don't understand all the nuances of those relationships, but I know that perfect love casts out fear. I know that love covers a multitude of sins. I know that forgiveness is available for all your broken relationships. I'm not saying you stay in an abusive relationship, forgive them and move on to healthy people, but you've got to forgive, church. If the love of God is going to cast out fear, we're going to have to live in it. That's all I'm trying to say. Last week we learned a lot of cool stuff. We learned that knowing about something and experiencing something is very different. We learned in Romans 8, 14 through 17 that we are God's children. We've been adopted. We are now called sons and daughters, and we're heirs with Christ. Wow, security and stability belongs to us. We learned in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that all we have to do is pray and receive the peace of God. How simple is that? It's called childlike faith. You know what we do as grown-ups? We tried that once and it didn't seem to work. So then we build a whole theology of why that's not possible. Peace is not possible. Oh, nobody wrote a book with that title, but basically they did. Lots of people have. There are famous American preachers who stand in their pulpit and proclaim, God no longer speaks. Might as well just say God is dead. Because if he's alive, he's still speaking, baby. The Bible is clear. I don't know how you read the Bible and say God doesn't speak today. I don't want to argue with those wonderful people because they're brothers and sisters in Christ. I do believe they're saved. I just think we don't agree. And that's okay. I want to love. I want perfect love. So I can't be mad at them. I can't be offended. I've just got to say, when I get to speak, I'm going to tell you this, God's alive. My guy's not dead. He's surely alive. Living on the inside, roaring like a lion. So here's today's big idea. Nothing can keep you from receiving God's love. Romans 8, 31. If you've never read Romans 8, read it. Read it all year. Ask the Holy Spirit to interpret Romans 8 to you. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today, and this is expounding on how nothing can separate us from God's love. Verse 31, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? God is so willing to give you everything else. Whatever you need, most of the time, even what you want. Because you're his kid. You ever had your kid ask for something for Christmas and something in you didn't say, I want to give them that if I could just afford it? God never has to say that. Now, he knows perfectly whether you need it and when you need it, but God's not withholding anything from you. He just wants to give you everything else. If we believe that, we'd receive that. But see, you can read it and it's meaningless. You have to believe it for it to take place in your life. And believing is an everyday occurrence. It's an everyday path. And you have to fight. What does it say? Fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight to believe. It's not passive. That's a problem with most homes in America. The husband and father is passive. He's abdicated his responsibility, told mama to take the spiritual reins, and no wonder it doesn't work, because that's not God's order. Now, if it hurts, repent. I mean, come on, men all the time say, you know, that praying, that's women's work. And I'll agree with you, some of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever known are women. And they still should be, but men need to take their place. Husbands, rise up and lead your house. Don't leave spiritual matters to somebody else. Well, I'll take them to church and let the preacher teach them and let the Kid City team teach them. No, you teach your family. I'm not leaving education in anybody's hands in my house but me and my wife. We'll send them to school. We'll send them to church. That should reinforce what they've learned already by your example and by your mouth in your own house. If that's challenging, then you need to be challenged. Yes, sir. I love you. Perfect love casts out all fear. It probably scares you to death. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, nobody does. Just pray. Well, I don't know how to teach the Bible. Just read something and share it with your kids. Say, this is what God showed me today. What's he showing you, Junior? It ain't that hard. Okay, I'll get back to something that makes you feel better. Who, verse 33, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. 2 Corinthians 5 says, you and I in Christ, we are now the righteousness of God. We've been given the gift of righteousness. Who can accuse you when God says you're righteous? No one. The case is closed. Romans 8 verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Case closed. The judge slams the gavel down. No believer in Christ can be accused of being wrong. You're always right with God. And if you don't believe that, then that doesn't help you. But if you believe it, it's going to put you on a good path, and you're going to start receiving what God has to give. You're going to believe that God actually loves you, actually wants good for you, and he'll actually pour all good things into you. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at the right hand, pleading for us. New American Standard says interceding for us. Listen to me. Yes, all kinds of voices will try to condemn you. What did I tell you last week? All the devil has are lies and deception. He tries to tell you you're not right with God because you failed again, but you're still right with God because Jesus says you're right with God. Because you're in Christ. You know, the devil's stupid. It says in the book of Revelation, he stands before God day and night accusing the brethren, which are the believers. And Jesus has already made you right. He should be spending his time doing something else. That's how dumb our enemy is, and you're still being duped by a dummy. He sends demons to whisper in your ear all the time. You're a failure. You're never going to make it. You know what your dad was like. You know what your lineage is like. But you say, no. I've been grafted into a new vine. I've been adopted into a new family. And not only that, I believe my lineage will be saved. When I got saved, it go in both directions. Second service is lively. This is drawing something out of me. Well, the devil will try to condemn you, but he has no evidence. The gavel has already been slammed down. You go free. You are righteous. You're God's child. No accusation can stick on you. Verse 35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? No! Try it again. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? No! Then what in the world are you messed up about? Because we know it in the spirit, but it needs to get into the mind. It needs to get into your feelings. You've been feeling bad for so long, you're depressed. You need to invite the Holy Spirit into your soul. People talk about soul power. There is power in the soul. But if it's not led by the Holy Spirit, it will lead you to death. You can be born again, headed to heaven when you die. God is longing to give you everything that heaven has to offer, and you could still be walking around in death. But you don't have to. Invite the Holy Spirit into your thoughts. Invite the Holy Spirit into your feelings. Invite, every time you need to make a choice, say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Where are we? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? No. Or calamity? No. Or we're persecuted? No. Or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. None of these things cause him to stop loving us. Does life happen? Yes. Despite all these things, overwhelmingly victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the fears of today are the worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing. Could you say nothing? In all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Stand with me, church. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can keep you from receiving God's love today. Now, what did I say? It only works when you believe it. In this moment, can you believe with me that nothing can keep you from experiencing God's love right now? Would you close your eyes? Let me pray over you. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear.